The Epic of Tampa Union Station by James E. Toakley Sr., Poet Laureate, Tampa. Silvery sleek on sun-bleached tracks, with barrel-chested engines, dolomite black, those were the trains of yesterday. But where might smoke and thunder stay? Where might great metro liners rest as they rumbled across the country with their smoke-filled crests? Grand Central Station, NYC, was home to them continuously, as was the town of William Penn, where 30th Street Station welcomed them. And the nation's capital, quite primordial, built for its trains a great cathedral, as did Los Angeles, a gathering hall, where great steam engines came to call. Yet, as for us, in the tropical climes of Tampa, foremost on our minds was a railroad temple, doubtless cast in the antebellum of our past, in Greco-Roman Renaissance, with granite-pillared elegance. So Henry Plant began to dream of visions stoked by sparks and steam of a local wonder as enchanting as the news of Janus Landing, something grand that might compete with the Plant Hotel's magnificent sweep, a Taj Mahal for all to view at the corner of Nebraska Avenue, and Twig Street like an eastern star for noble travelers near and far. Three railroad families with good name consented to build for northbound trains and southbound trains, such as would come a haven in this hamlet of cigars and guns, said Atlantic coastline, seaboard air, and the Tampa Northern with great flair. We'll pool railroad resources and then come up with a master plan. And they did. May 15th, 1912, with a cost that startled even themselves. $250,000 did they spend without a bother nor a question who could spare for a 13,400-foot square commuter train mansion of red brick, white granite pillars, and a roof well pitched like the Parthenon roof of distant Rome. Yet Tampa was this Parthenon's home. And railroad buffs from round the nation lauded Tampa Union Station, a landmark 315 years that would witness countless smiles and tears. So come, good friend, I'll show you round these ornate balconies wide and sound, these vaulted ceilings, great green doors, magnificent terrazzo floors, and skylights placed to soften the gloom in an otherwise dark and noisy room. As a matter of record, not till the days of World War II did the skylight blaze get blunted when we painted them black in fear of a Nazi sneak attack. But watch my words and walk with me as I show you how things used to be, with a regiment of sharp red caps, smart dressed and ready at a snap, with Pullman porters waiting to please tired travelers in such days as these, who made tired sleepers feel at home despite cramped beds and rattling bones. But at Tampa Union Station, you could wait till the Silver Palm pulled through, or catch the Silver Meteor, or the Orange Blossom Special with its diesel roar. For Tampa Union Station was a doorway beckoning without pause to places one had never seen except in a travelogue magazine, or a radio barker's quick-clipped brogue to Cucamonga up the road. And the rafters of this venerable hall of crowds and destination calls has absorbed the echoes through the years of somber whispers, yells, and cheers of New York Yankees filled with glee, of Mickey Mantle with his million-dollar knee, and the time he ran off just for sport through Tampa Union Station in his jockey shorts. For quite indeed it could have been the city of Mudville they were in, that place which a poet talked about, where mighty Casey was struck out. But Tampa Union's always been a stop-off place for baseball men, where Reds and Yankees from St. Pete waited for their trains and the world to beat. Hank Bauer sat here, Satchel Paige, and countless names from a golden age of professional sports called this their home as they bragged in groups or brooded alone. And Gary Cooper of Hollywood fame was overheard to call the name of Lupe Valdez, a cinema queen who was making a movie in Sulphur Springs. In the Union Station, they embraced as if the world knew neither face. A kaleidoscope of images we shall stand here in this place and see. We'll sing Bob Dylan's best folk songs and chant flower power with our hair worn long. In prayerful discipline, we will wait for the northbound train to stamp out hate as we join America's daughters and sons to attend the March on Washington. But now we wait here, black and white, in the segregated section by the black skylights. Wait here with me and watch a pretty black young woman from a northern city enter and sit primly down in the white folks section, where she'll be found by her fiancé, who feels he should apologize if he knows what's good. This great brick house has heard it all, from civil rights to pro baseball, from Espanol to parle français, from shoes of gold to feet of clay. And it documented what it heard, committing to memory sight and word. And you will hear young children shriek as they scamper playing hide and seek round bulky luggage that is strewn throughout this raucous, spacious room, where pilgrims in their Sunday best sit anxiously and try to rest on hardwood seats that leave them numb while waiting for their trains to come. Observe them as they sit just so, cross-legged with papers, reading slowly, watching everything that moves like a circus without horns or hooves. Then follow me through a second door to a somber room with a dustier floor, whose patrons wait and make pretend their counterparts consider them men and women with an equal smile that makes their sacrifice worthwhile. They wait their turn to catch a train as passengers in all but name, for water fountains and the like are clearly labeled black and white. Come sit with me, and I will show where Tampa Union met Jim Crow. A breeze will blow that chills our bones as kaleidoscope images drop like stone. Then you and I shall encounter the night that shuttered Tampa Union's lights. A red sunset of gasoline and a twilight for commuter trains. A fist of salt poured on the tail of what was once a flight of rail. But instead of coaches, folks would take their families on the interstate. Or better still, without despair of time, most folks took to the air. For the glorious days of smoke and coal and the hiss of steam grew slow and old, replaced by diesel and the spark of electricity, clean and smart. As for the station we once knew, it became a place where pigeons flew and nestled safely out of sight to escape marauding hawks at night. But the station's vacant, blistered walls no longer listened to the call of children or the booming choice of the station master's baritone voice. Though passenger trains still offered rides, their customers waited in line outside or in a ticket office where accommodations were threadbare. So a once magnificent giant slept, while the city of Tampa fairly leapt with progress, and there was a fear that the station's final days were near. As well they would had it not been that the railroad legacy had great kin. Grandparents told grandchildren how great trains, no longer running now, would make old Tampa Union hum like a hive of bees or a marching drum. So the grandchildren waited till they were grown and decided to discover on their own the truth of the place old Grandpop said once hosted the Yankees and the Reds, once sent young soldiers off to war, perhaps heard Elvis Presley snore, and maybe echoed guitar strings of the great blues singer B.B. King. So our city was petitioned once again to share a vision with a generation who had hopes to see its past renewed. Amtrak, Hillsborough County Commission, the National Trust for Preservation, Nations Bank, WFLA, Florida Transportation, by the way, the Tampa Tribune, and other friends agreed 'twas time to make amends for the negligence of a glorious past. So they brought Tampa Union back to last the new millennium as a part of downtown Tampa's renewed heart. And well-dressed travelers came once more to marvel at terrazzo floors and vaulted ceilings of a place which welcomed them once more with grace. And children's eyes went wild with glee as the silver palm backed regally to a standstill, there to rest, no doubt, by the side of an example of a reborn South, mindful yet unmindful of a past without equality and love. And once again, with great regard, the conductor's riveting "All Aboard" has become an anthem Amtrak sings as the ears of excited travelers ring with genuine excitement when the great majestic trains roll in to curtsy at their red brick host who teems with memories and ghosts. For the days of William Howard Taft as president have long since passed, and the Hillsborough Hotel with its soaring height has long since closed its doors. A new day glistens on the bright horizon that outflanks the night, and a modern wisdom now defends good memories of what has been to save and deliver them from the plow that they might live again somehow. Those mighty bisons of the rail with smokestack horns and pewter trails have been replaced by swifter steeds who do not smolder when they breathe. Yet when they come to Tampa, we embrace them with our history. For the Tampa Union Station, born one early 20th century morn, survives today for all to see in the early 21st century. So station master, please once more unlock your station's big green doors to let sunlight and passengers in as the age of the iron horse lives again. And we shall thrill to hear the sound of the silver meteor coming down the tracks while the station master sings, "Your train is here, take all your things." And Mickey Mantle with his knees will wait for his connection in times like these, while the train conductor, self-assured, will crow like a rooster, "All aboard!" And Gary Cooper shall be seen once more to kiss his ghostly queen.